ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। तथा अभिव्याहनम महासुरो। Is it written?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Are you 25 or 26?
I was just reading 25. Aren't we up to 25? Okay. I'll just read the English of 25. Thereafter, the great demon Hiranyakashipu, who was extremely angry, attacked Nrisingadev with his club and began to beat him. Lord Nrisingadev, however, captured the great demon along with his club, just as Garuda may capture a great snake. And then 26. Satasya hasto kalitas tadasuro. Vikridato yadvad ahir garutmata. Asad vamanan vamanyanta ritaukasho amara. Ganachada Bharata Sarvadishnapa. So amara sarvam savadishneapa. One more. So kalitas tadasuro. Natasya hasto kalitas tadasuro. Vidito yadvada hir garutmata. Asad vramanyanta ritao kesho amara. Kadidisyava. Sa, he, Hiranyakashipu, tasya, of him, Lord Nrisingadev, hasta, from the hands. Utkalitaha, slipped. Tada, at that time. Asuraha, the king of the demons. Hiranyakashipu, Vikridataha, playing. Yadvat, exactly like. Ahi, a snake. Garut Mataha of Garuda. Asadu, not very good. Amanyanta, considered. Rita, Okashaha, whose abodes were taken by Hiranyakashipu. Amara, the demigods. Here is the translation. Please listen carefully, because I have a habit for asking, what do you remember after I read it? And then I'll read Prabhupada's purport, and I may ask the same question again. So please listen carefully. O Yudhisthira, O great son of Bharata, when Lord Nrisimhadev gave Hiranyakashipu a chance to slip from his hand, just as Garuda sometimes plays with a snake and lets it slip from its mouth, the demigods, who had lost their abodes and were hiding behind the clouds for fear of the demon, did not consider the incident very good. Indeed, they were very perturbed. Please repeat. O Yudhisthira, O great son of Bharata, when Lord Nrisimhadev gave Hiranyakashipu a chance to slip from his hand, just as Garuda sometimes plays with a snake and lets it slip from his mouth, the demigods who had lost their abodes and who were hiding behind the clouds for fear of the demon did not consider that incident very good. Indeed, they were perturbed. What does perturbed mean? Raise your hand. What does perturbed mean? Yes. Disturbed, yes. They were so disturbed. Why were they disturbed? Raise your hands, please. Why were they disturbed? We will. I'm going to let the children speak. Yes. Because? No. The demigods were disturbed. Because he had slipped from his hand.
They were thinking that he may come again.
You raised your hand, but you called out. You better be careful. We'll put you in the corner. Okay? Okay, please listen to the purport what Prabhupada explained. When Hiranyakashipu was in the process of being killed by Lord Nrisimhadev, the Lord gave the demon a chance to slip from his clutches. This incident was not very much appreciated by the demigods, for they were greatly afraid of Hiranyakashipu. They knew that if somehow or other Hiranyakashipu escaped from the Srinadev's hand and saw that the demigods were looking forward to his death with great pleasure, they feared he would take revenge on them. Therefore, they were very much afraid. Om Ganatimanandasya Jana Jana Salakaya Chaksu Sumilitanjena Tasmai Sri Gurave Nama Sri Chaitanya Manubhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Sayam Mpakadamayam Tadati Sa Pandantikam Vansha Kaupa Tubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. Today I've been given a great honor because I'm going to read the end of the drama. Today, Hiranyakashipu would die. But before we read that part, I want to read something else from earlier, because this drama that we're seeing, not exactly drama, but it is Leela. That means these are the Lord's transcendental pastimes in this world. He comes to this world to show us something about himself and how he deals with the world, how he deals with his devotees. And in this specific case, how he deals with demons as well, asuras. Because we want to remove from our heart this tendency to be asura and fully develop in our heart the tendency to become deep, deep, fully committed, fully loving devotees. So in this drama, in this specific part that we will now read and hear, there is a great hero. And his name is Prahlad Maharaj. It's very interesting that in Nrisimha Purana, the great hero is Lord Nrisimhadev. But here in the Bhagavata Purana, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, really the great hero is Sri Prahlad Maharaj. Because he is the ashraya. That means he is the abode of love for the Supreme Lord. He is the source of that love. He carries that love. So by placing our consciousness on the ashraya and praying to the ashraya, to Sri Prahlad Maharaj, and learning from him, then we can also develop love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Later on, in the 10th chapter, close to the end of the pastime, but at the very beginning of the 10th chapter of the 7th canto, Prahlad Maharaj will say that he has come to this world where everyone is contaminated. Everyone is contaminated by lusty desires. He says, Bhaktang Kameshwa Chodayara. Chodayat means he was sent into this world to display the example, Britya Lakshana, the example of a pure soul. Prior to Prahlad Maharaj, in the 6th canto, for example, many exalted souls were spoken of. The two that come to my mind immediately are Ajamil, who was so exalted, and then Vritrasura. But the example of Ajamil and the example of Chittaketu, Vidyadhara, and the example of Vritrasura, we cannot follow, even though they were exalted personalities. But Prahlad is the example we should follow. And specifically, he has been sent by the Lord to this world to show that example. So we should examine. Ah, now everything is okay. They're back. So we should study the hero of this drama first, and then we shall hear some other interesting things. So in the 4th chapter of the 7th canto, quite a few months ago, if you've been living in Vrindavan, the character of Prahlad was described, and why his example was so great, and why his example should be followed. And if we understand something about the depth of Prahlad's character, of his Krishna consciousness, then we will understand the rest of this Leela. And we will understand his words. We have to understand what is going on in his heart, because he acts like Hiranyakashipu challenges him, and we'll hear that in a moment, but he's challenged him before. And Prahlad has no anxiety. His life was threatened, but he was in no anxiety. Now try and do that. It cannot be imitated. It cannot be done from the intellectual platform. He spoke so boldly to his father. We cannot imitate. But the depth of his character is described after the devatas in chapter 4 of the 7th canto, after the demigods go with Lord Brahma to pray for the incarnation, the Lord to come, to rid the world of Hiranyakashipu, who was so powerful. And interestingly enough, despite his power, he was intimidated by Prahlad Maharaj, and he feared Prahlad Maharaj, this little boy who was his son. So, because time is a little short, I would love to read the verses and Prabhupada's purport, but I will avoid the temptation. Just to give you a glimpse of what Prahlad, from what I remember of what Prahlad's character was like, he was always thinking of Krishna with great love. He was seeing Krishna. And actually, when Narada Muni is explaining this to Maharaj Yudhisthira, he uses the term Govinda Parirambitaha, which means, Prabhupada's translation is, he was being embraced by Govinda, Krishna. Or it can be translated that he was absorbed in thoughts of Govinda, of Krishna, constantly. And another way to translate Parirambita, he was overwhelmed. His consciousness was overwhelmed by his relationship with Krishna. And interesting enough, it's not in the five rasas, exactly in the five rasas that we learn from Nectar Devotion, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Practically speaking, he saw Krishna like a father. Not that like Mother Yashoda saw Krishna and Nanda Baba saw Krishna as a son. He saw Krishna like his father, his protector. And this is the basic example that we should learn from Prahlad Maharaj. The depth of his surrender was that he took complete shelter. Gotripte varanam tata. He had the full shelter and full faith and confidence in Krishna. There was nothing to be feared by him in this world because he was Krishna conscious, because he was absorbed in thoughts of Krishna. And therefore, in the most dangerous situation, he had no fear. He loved Krishna. And as Srila Prabhupada explains in following Sri Narada Muni and Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, sometimes when he couldn't see Krishna, for a moment even, tears would pour from his eyes. This is the example of Prahlad Maharaj. And then when Krishna would appear to him, he would laugh and be so happy. He was like a child. When the mother is not there, Krishna Mata, Krishna Pita, Krishna Pranadan. When the baby, the mother is not there, the baby will cry. And then when the mother appears or the father appears and embraces him, he laughs. His shelter is before his eyes. He's happy, uncontrolled, uncontained, natural, spontaneous happiness. And Krishna reciprocated completely with Prahlad Maharaj. Completely. And one comment by Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur and Prabhupada intimates the same thing, is that Krishna ran towards Prahlad to embrace Prahlad. So what an intimate relationship of love. Prema Pamarto Mahan. Now, contemplate that, that this was what was continuously going on within Prahlad. He was always in touch with him. Srila Prabhupada quotes in his purport, Stavaram jagamam deki na deki tara moti sarvatra hoya ishta deva spoti. Raise your hand if you know that verse from Chaitanya Charitamrita. Yeah, I should have asked you to recite it. That he saw Krishna everywhere and everything. And the 11th canto sloka is also quoted, where Krishna himself defines what equanimity means, how to have a steady mind. And the word is samo, steadiness, the brahminical quality, when Krishna defines this in the 11th canto, 19th chapter, I believe. He says that steadiness means to have your intelligence, nishtata, buddhi, mam. Samo mam nishtata buddhi. Means steadiness of mind can only come when the consciousness, the intelligence is focused, fixed on Krishna. And that was Prahlad Maharaj. And that is the path. We're on the path of Prahlad Maharaj, because this path goes right to Vrindavan. So Prahlad is the star. Now there are, in the death of Hiranyakashipu, which has been, we've been moving towards since the Devatas came to Lord Vishnu. At this point, in what chapter are we reading from? Raise your hand. What chapter are we reading from, if you know? Yes. Very close. Very good. Eighth chapter. So in this eighth chapter, there are some other players other than Prahlad Maharaj, who is the star. Now, I'm going to read from the beginning of the eighth chapter, and we're going to end with the death of Hiranyakashipu. And I'll speak a little bit about it. But I want you to watch this drama. And the specific thing I would like you to pay attention to is how different individuals react to the star. Who is the star of the drama? The one that we should keep our eyes on? Yes, Prahlad Maharaj. So the first persons who were reacting to, which was in the previous chapter, the seventh chapter, is his schoolmates. They were innocent. Even though they were born in demonic families, they were innocent. And then next, there are the teachers, Sanda and Amarka. How will they react to this great devotee? Yes, just Sanda and Amarka didn't become devotees. They became very upset. Because even though they were brahminical, who was their master? Hiranyakashipu, a demon. So there were innocent boys in school. And one may ask the question, why wasn't Prahlad affected by such bad association? And he would, because of his fixedness, this samo mam nishtata buddhi, fully committed to Krishna, he wasn't affected. Rather, as Prabhupada explains in his purport. Everyone became affected by him according to their own heart. So the boys were infected and affected in one way, and the teachers were affected in another way because they were servants of Hiranyakashipu. And then Hiranyakashipu was affected by Prahlad in a different way. And lastly, how was the Supreme Lord Nrisimhadev affected by Prahlad's devotion? So I would like to read this from the beginning, and Krishna willing, Hiranyakashipu shall die. We will say he will die before your very eyes, but even better than that, he will die before your very ears. But the words in the verses are so poetic. Prabhupada's translations are so poetic that you'll be able to see it as well. So the 8th chapter, and then we'll get to the verses that we spoke about today. So in this 8th chapter, it begins after, in the 7th chapter, Prahlad taught his school friends about Krishna, and they were influenced, and they gave up the materialistic way. All the sons, this is Narada Muni speaking to whom? Raise your hand. Who is Narada Muni speaking to? Yudhisthira. Thank you. All the sons of the demons appreciated the transcendental instructions of Prahlad Maharaj, and they took them very seriously. They were innocent, and they took them seriously, and they rejected the materialistic instructions given by their teachers, Sanda and Amarka. When Sanda and Amarka, the sons of Sukracharya, observed that all the students, the sons of the demons, were becoming advanced in Krishna consciousness because of the association of Prahlad Maharaj, they became afraid. They approached the king of the demons and they described the situation as it was. And who is the king of the demons? Yes, Hiranyakashipu. And when so they became afraid because they served a demon. And therefore they were controlled by their selfishness and fear what he would do to them and what would happen to them. And therefore they became afraid. That's the second person to watch, the second group of people. First was the boys, innocent-hearted, in association with an exalted soul. They became exalted. They took his instructions seriously. And Sandana Marka became fearful because their life, their way of thinking, was threatened. The whole materialistic way of life, Prahlad dismissed it. And they became afraid. But Hiranyakashipu, he did not become afraid. Rather, he became furious. How do you say furious in Hindi? Where's our Hindi dictionary? Loudly. Huh? I couldn't even hear. Okay, you changed your mind. Okay, very good. He became so furious when he understood the entire situation. Actually, he didn't understand the entire situation. He saw the situation from his own viewpoint, because only Krishna understands the entire situation. We just see from a viewpoint, which means we view it from a point because we are tiny, we are insignificant. And he became extremely angry, so much so that his body began to tremble. And he finally decided to kill his son, Prahlad. Hiranyakashipu was by nature very cruel, and feeling insulted, you dare to change the mind of these boys from worshipping me to worshipping Krishna? How dare you? You don't know who I am. And feeling insulted, he began to hiss like a snake trampled upon by someone's foot. His son Prahlad, at the same time, who was directly in front of him, was peaceful, mild, gentle, and his senses were under control. And he stood before Hiranyakashipu with folded hands. According to Prahlad's age and behavior, he was not to be chastised. Yet, with staring, crooked eyes, Hiranyakashipu rebuked him. He chastised him. He criticized him with the following words. Hiranyakashipu said, "O most impudent, you are so proud, you are going against me, your father who is so powerful and who has controlled the world, most unintelligent disruptor of the family, O lowest of mankind." This is a 5-year-old boy he's speaking to, the most powerful person in the universe on one level. "You have violated my power to rule you, and therefore you are an obstinate, stubborn fool. And today I shall send you to the place of Yamaraj." And Prahlad, then Hiranyakashipu continued, "And his body is trembling in his anger as he says this. "My son Prahlad, you rascal, you know that when I am angry, all the planets of the three worlds tremble, along with their chief rulers. All the devatas would pay their obeisances to Hiranyakashipu. By whose power has a rascal like you become so arrogant and impudent that you appear fearless? Where are you getting your power from to stand in front of me fearlessly? And you are overstepping my power to rule you. Where is your power coming from? Who are you taking shelter of? Where is it coming from?" And Prahlad answered him in a simple way, fearlessly, fully assured. And again, remember when we discussed our hero, we should keep in mind what was going on inside of him this whole time. It is called Krishna consciousness. Just as an aside, this reminds me of Srila Prabhupada walking or talking about the Victoria Memorial. In what city is the Victoria Memorial? Calcutta, yes. And Prabhupada was talking and he said, it's a huge building. And he said, "When I was young, when it was being built, there was scaffolding and I climbed all the way to the top of it." And one of the devotees replied, "Prabhupada, you were so brave then." And Prabhupada replied, "I still am brave. Otherwise, how could I come alone?" Alone. Alone, knowing no one and with no money, but yet not alone, just like Prahlad is not alone. So Prahlad said, "The source of my strength, of which you are asking, is also the source of yours, your strength. Indeed, the original source of all kinds of strength is one. He is not only your strength," talking to Hiranyakashipu, "or mine, but the strength of everyone." everyone. Whatever we can do is coming by the mercy of Krishna. If we can understand that actually and deeply, not ahankara vamudatma, then the problem of pride will not attack us. We are dependent on Krishna at every moment. Without him, Prahlad continues, no one can get any strength, whether moving or not moving, superior or inferior. Everyone, including Lord Brahma, the topmost person, is controlled by the strength of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Prahlad continues preaching to Hiranyakashipu, who is trembling with rage as he stands in front of him. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the supreme controller of and the time factor, is the power of the senses, the power of the mind, the power of the body, the vital force of the senses. His influence is unlimited. He is the best of all living entities, the controller of the three modes of material nature that control us all. By his own power, he creates the cosmic manifestation, the universe. He creates it, he maintains it, and he annihilates it. And actually, as Prahlad explains this in his prayers, because in most religions, they glorify God as the creator. But Prahlad explains in his prayers that not only that he's not the creator, but his expansion of Karanadakshay Vishnu is expansion of Garbhadakshay Vishnu. His born from him is an ordinary jiva named Brahma who is empowered to create. So he's not the creator even, but just an expansion, an ordinary jiva he empowers to do the creation. So that gives us a glimpse of this person that we're worshipping, of how powerful he is. How powerful is he? He's unlimitedly powerful. What does that even mean, that he's unlimitedly powerful? Inconceivably powerful. So Prahlad continues. He says, and this is... He says, my dear father, give up your demonic mentality, asura bhav. Give it up. Do not discriminate in your heart between enemies and friends. You should see everyone as a soul and see that different people have different conditioning and we act according to our conditioning. I act according to my conditioning, sometimes a little bit good, but mostly not so good. But everyone is a conditioned soul in this world. And I saw this with Srila Prabhupada when he dealt with the devotees. Yes, they had their conditioning. They were young devotees. But he saw the spark of Krishna consciousness in them. He saw the soul. And he spoke to that part of them. He fanned that part of them, the sincerest part of them. Make your mind equipoised towards everyone and accept, listen to this, this is what he told his father, except for the uncontrolled and misguided mind, there is no enemy within this world. What was that last instruction? Raise your hand that Prahlad gave. Raise your hand, yes. Loudly. Is, what's the other part? That's the real important part. Misguided mind. Yes, misguided mind, uncontrolled. Yes, but the only enemy, not worst enemy, but the only enemy. This is the message of the 23rd chapter of the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam, the Avanti Brahmana, there is only one cause of distress. There is only one enemy in this world, and that is the mind. Do you believe that? Well, think about that during the day. This is the example Prahlad Maharaj is setting, and he's speaking it. How deep and realized, uncontrolled and misguided mind. And when one sees everyone, there is no enemy within the world other than the uncontrolled and misguided mind. And when one sees everyone on the platform of equality, samaham, savabhuteshu, one comes to the position of worshipping the Lord perfectly. Also in the 29th chapter of the 11th canto, Krishna himself tells Uddhava this point. This is the basic Vaishnava philosophy. One time I spoke to Srila Prabhupada. I asked Prabhupada a question. How should I treat this devotee who is no longer connected with his society? And Prabhupada answered, with respect. A Vaishnava treats everyone with respect, even an ant. Now, by hearing these instructions, pride goes, embarrassment comes, followed by humility. So important to hear the Bhagavatam. And then we can chant. Kirtaniya Siddhahari. And then he ends with, he gets even heavier. In former times there were many fools like you who did not conquer the six enemies, kam, krodh, lobh, etc., that steal away the wealth of the body. And these fools were proud, thinking, I have conquered all the enemies in the 10 directions, and the real enemy is inside their heart. But if a person is victorious over the six enemies, raise your hand and say loudly, one of the enemies. Lust, that's the first one that comes to my mind. Yes. Greed, anger, envy, that's usually six, illusion, madness. These are the real enemies. The mind is the enemy. If a person is victorious over the six enemies and is equipoised towards all living entities, for him there are no enemies. Enemies are merely imagined by one in ignorance. Hiranyakashipu did not like the instructions of Prahlad. He replied, you rascal, you're trying to minimize my value, as if you were better than me at controlling the senses. This is overintelligent. I can therefore understand that you desire to die at my hands. For this kind of nonsensical talk is indulged in by those who are about to die. O most unfortunate Prahlad, you have always described a supreme being other than me, a supreme being who is above everything, who is the controller of everything, who is all-pervading. But where is he? If he is everywhere, then why he is not present before me in this pillar? And Prahlad, who is pure, stavaram jagamam deki na deki tara moti savatrahoya ishta devasmoti, who could see Krishna everywhere, Krishna allowed him to see him, allowed Prahlad to see him in the pillar. And Hiranyakashipu could could not see anything. Because you are speaking so much nonsense, I shall now sever your head from your body. Now let me see your most worshipable God come and protect you. I want to see it. If I don't see it, I won't believe it. And Hiranyakashipu will soon see it, see him. And he will be very angry. Being obsessed, completely controlled with anger, nothing else in his mind and heart. Hiranyakashipu, who is very great in bodily strength, thus chastised the exalted devotee's son, Prahlad, with harsh words. He cursed him again and again, and he took up his sword, and he got up from his royal throne, and with great anger, to prove there was no God in the pillar, he struck that pillar, his fist, against the column. And from within the pillar came a fearful sound, which appeared to crack the covering of the universe. Oh, my dear Yudhisthira, Narada Muni said, this sound reached the abode of the demigods like Lord Brahma, and when the demigods heard it, they thought, now our planet is being destroyed. Hiranyakashipu, while showing his extraordinary power, who desired to kill his own son, heard that wonderful tumultuous sound which had never been heard before. And upon hearing the sound, the other leaders of the demons became afraid. None of them could find out the origin of the sound within the assembly. And to prove, please listen very carefully to this, to prove the statement of his servant, Prahlad Maharaj, was substantial, that it was true. When Prahlad said, my Lord Krishna is in this pillar, to prove Prahlad's words true, and to prove that the Supreme Lord is present everywhere, even in the pillar of an assembly hall, to show that even though he is everywhere, he is a person. He has form and personality, even though he is everywhere. Lord Hari exhibited a wonderful form never seen before. That form was neither of a man nor that of a lion. Thus the Lord appeared in his wonderful form in the assembly hall. When Hiranyakashipu looked around to find the source of that sound, that wonderful form of the Lord, which could not be ascertained, understood to be either man or lion, emerged, came out from that pillar. And in amazement, Hiranyakashipu wondered, what is this creature that is half man, half lion? Hiranyakashipu studied the form of the Lord, trying to decide who this was. And then Narada Muni describes how fearful Nrisimhadeva looked. Huge jaws, pointed ears, strong arms, many arms, kancha, disc, lotus, and other natural weapons. And then he said to himself, Lord Vishnu, who possesses great mystic power, has made this plan to kill me. But what is the use of his attempt to kill me? Who can fight with me? He was very... what word is the next word? He was... Hiranyakashipu was very... puffed up, he was proud, and he was foolish. He picked up his club and he went to attack the Lord like an elephant. His Holiness Lokanath Maharaj spoke on this point several days ago. Just as a small insect falls forcefully into a fire and the insignificant creature becomes invisible, when Hiranyakashipu attacked the Lord who is full of effulgence, Hiranyakashipu became invisible. When we're in front of the Lord, whatever little we have is nothing. And it's coming from Him anyway. This is not at all astonishing, for the Lord is always situated in pure goodness. I'm moving through a little bit. Thereafter, the great demon Hiranyakashipu, who was extremely angry, swiftly attacked Nisringadeva with his club and began to beat him in his pride, in his foolishness, in his maya. And Lord Nisringadeva captured the great demon along with his club, just as Garuda might capture a great snake. And the demigods at this point were so happy because he had taken over everything from them. But then they were so happy because the demon who gave them so much trouble and suffering and anxiety was now going to die. And then suddenly Lord Nisringadeva let him slip away from his hand. And they became in full anxiety. What will happen to us if Hiranyakashipu saw that we were happy, that he was going to die, and then he recovers, he's going to kill us? They too became afraid because they're succumbed. But Prahlad had no fear. Different mentalities react to purity in different ways. One time I heard His Holiness Satchinanda Maharaj say that when we pick up our japa beads in the morning, we should watch our mind, and then we'll see how our relationship is with Krishna on that day. Do we become angry? Do we become tired? Do we become this? Do we become that? Do we become full of ecstasy? Do we become fearless? Do we become humble? When Hiranyakashipu was freed from the hand of Nisringadeva, he falsely thought that the Lord was afraid of his prowess, his power. And therefore, after taking a little rest from the fight, he took up his sword and shield again and attacked the Lord with great force. And making a loud, shrill sound of laughter, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayana, who is extremely strong and powerful, he captured Hiranyakashipu, who was protecting himself with his sword and shield, leaving no gaps open. He was fully protected by himself, by his own power, and with the speed of a hawk. Hiranyakashipu moved sometimes in the sky, sometimes in the earth, but his eyes were closed out of fear of Lord Nisringadeva. Because inside, every conditioned soul, even the greatest of atheists, even the greatest of demons, even the greatest of materialists, they are afraid, because our thinking ourself by the gift of the false ego as very important is just a bluff. It is false. It is illusion. We can never be anything more than insignificant servants of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna Nitya Das, or Dasi. As a snake captures a mouse, here's what you all have been waiting for so patiently, or Garuda captures a venomous snake, Lord Nisringadeva captured Hiranyakashipu, who could not even be pierced by a thunderbolt of Indra. And as Hiranyakashipu moved here and there, moved his limbs here and there, all around, very much afflicted, disturbed by being captured, Lord Nisringadev placed the demon upon his lap and supporting him by his thighs. And in the doorway of the assembly hall, the Lord very easily tore the demon to pieces with the nails of his hands. Do you feel happy? I also feel happy. But there's one more verse that I would like to read. Remember how frightened the demigods were. And remember, and it's also in the Krishna book, or the 10th canto, when Kamsa was killed, there was a band playing and everything before that, and Kamsa stopped it. There was a celebration because Krishna and Balaram had defeated all the wrestlers, and then Kamsa stopped it, and there was silence. And then he threatened Vasudeva and Nanda Maharaj and Krishna, drive them all out. And then Krishna jumped up on the stage, grabbed him by the hair, and threw him down, and then assumed the form of the universe and landed on top of him and killed him. And in the whole assembly, there was silence. Because no one was quite sure that he was dead. Because his eyes were always open anyway, out of fear of Krishna. So then Krishna dragged him around, just like a lion drags an elephant. And then everyone knew he was dead, and then everyone could cheer and clap and be happy that the demon had been destroyed. Yes. That's how I feel at this point. So here's what Lord Nisringadev did. He didn't drag Haranyakashipu, but this is what he did do. Lord Nisringadev's mouth and mane was sprinkled with drops of blood. His fierce eyes, full of anger, were impossible to look at, and licking the edge of his mouth with his tongue, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Nisringadev, decorated with a garland of intestines taken from Haranyakashipu's abdomen, resembled a lion that had just killed an elephant. So to show all the assembled devatas that Haranyakashipu was indeed dead, he took out his intestines and placed them around his neck like a garland. And he looked very beautiful. He's dead. You can all be happy. Okay. I've already kept you so late, so I think no time for questions, but thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Lord Nisringadev Bhagawan ki jai. Sri Prahlad Maharaj ki jai. Srila Prabhupada Bhaktivinoda ki jai. Sisi Gornitai ki jai, Sri Krishna Balarama ki jai, Sisi Radha Shamasunda Lalita Vishakadevi ki jai, Srila Prabhupada Bhaktivinoda ki jai, Nitai Gaur Premanandi Hare Bol.